Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of great folks involved, including its host and founder, Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. And here she is now with another champion in the battle against ageism, Carol Marks interviewing Jackie Goldberg. She's an 80-year-old actress, motivational speaker, and has her own company, Senior Star Power Productions. She's the producer for an all-senior musical series called Rockin' with the Ages.
How and why did you become known as a pink lady? I understand you even live in an all-pink house.
I do. And I have to tell you, when people come and see the house, and they, you know, at first when you say a pink house, it's like, oh, my God, what am I going to get into? But when they come in here, the aura of pink, which just makes you feel so warm and cozy and bright and sunny, everybody says to me, we'd love to stay here. We'd love to live in your house. But it started, actually, Carol, it started 45 years ago. So it's not just a fun thing with me. It was a what I call a marketing tool, $1 million marketing tool. And I was a sales rep for women's wear. And one day I was walking down the California Mart, and I had pink on that day. And my late husband said, wait a minute now, that color is your mantra. And I said, really? He said, yes, you're going to be known as the pink lady.
Uh-huh.
And it took off. The next day, we had a big glass showroom at the Mart. And on the showroom, it said, Walter P. Goldberg and Associates. And a big pink star was painted. Starring
I love it.
Pink lady.
I just love that. Now, you went on to spread your wings
even
further, and you started offering motivational talks, get up, get out, get a life,
yes,
as well as workshops for seniors. If you had to summarize your talks, what are they all about?
You know what? It's about enjoying the best time of our life, which is after 60. I feel that then you've reached an epitome of all your work, all your experience, that you can now take it after 60 and use it to do what you want, when you want, how you want.
You put it just right. And you know, I can tell how healthy, how active and vital you are from your voice, because
I was at a seminar yesterday, and I was talking to the president of Fielding University, and he said to me in like 2 seconds after we were talking, he said, wow. He said, I have to tell you. He said it was like around 7 a.m. in the morning, too, because it was an early session. And he said, I cannot believe your energy that comes across, and also I'm blessed that energy comes across on stage too to the audience, and so do all the people that I have in my cast who are 60, 70, 80 and up.
And what prompted you to want to produce your latest show, because you've been doing it
now
quite
for
a while?
5 years. I tell you what it is. When I got into the entertainment field, when I became an actress, when I reinvented myself 10 years ago, I won a contest, and the contest was Ms. Senior L.A. County. And when I won that, I got an agent, I got a film, I got Taft-Hartley into Screen Actors Guild. All these great things were happening, and then suddenly I realized that the entertainment field, when you're 60 and over, in fact, even a little younger in film, they kind of put you out to pasture. They don't use you as much. And I really resented that, because I felt that being over 60, that experience, that talent that we have, doesn't die, doesn't go away. We just get better. And I decided to give a venue to these people. And I started my first show, Rockin' with the Ages. And now I've done 4 shows. And I'm like so excited. I just got my 501c nonprofit, and I'm looking for a theater to produce all year round senior theater in LA, not just once a year.
Well, you know, I feel so strongly about ageism, and it certainly does exist in the entertainment business.
Yes.
So I applaud what you're doing. Now, I want to talk a little bit first before we talk about your plans, because you now have a nonprofit organization.
Right.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your present production. And I understand some of the actors and actresses were typecast in this way, that there's a sexy one, there's a serious one, there's a brassy, sassy one.
Right, right.
And some were given the first name of celebrities who had similar characteristics, such as Frank for Frank Sinatra.
Right, right.
And Gene for Gene Kelly. I mean, it's amazing. And boy, what wonderful dancers and singers. I couldn't believe how great they are.
I know. In fact, one of Bobby Stamp, for instance, has been in all my shows. So far, all four. And she is a dancer, a former showgirl from Vegas, and she does the splits for the audience. I mean, she's, I think, 69, 72, something like that. And the audience just goes crazy. I mean, here this woman has kept her talent and has her whole vibrant personality, and she's up there dancing for an hour and 45 minutes.
Wow.
And doing the split and singing. I mean, they're just an awesome group of people.
Now, the show hasn't just been enjoyed by older Americans. Have you been surprised by the number of young people seeing the show and come away saying how much they've enjoyed it?
In fact, it's so cute. There was one young man, I think he was about 12 or 14, and he was being interviewed by one of my videographers. And they said, you know, how did you like it? And he went, well, I was surprised. I really liked it. I liked it even better than Spider-Man.
That's the ultimate compliment from a kid of
that
age.
Oh, my God, that just absolutely threw us. And I have to be honest with you. When I give some of my seminars for Get Up, Get Out, Get a Life, I notice that the people that are in their 40s and 50s are the ones that come over to me the most and say, we want to thank you, because we thought we'd reach 40 and 50, and wow, we're really getting old, and we're really getting up there, and you know, and we have to really think what's going to happen. But when we see you at 80 with this energy and this zest for life, we realize that we've got a long way to go.
Now, if you could only patent your vigor and your energy and your talent.
Well, it's funny. Someone asked me, I gave a seminar the other day for 100 people, and afterwards someone said, tell me something. What do you do the first thing when you get up in the morning? And I said, I say, thank you. So sometimes you have to
give back. Appropriate.
Yeah,
oh, you sure do. And I understand that in your show, you sometimes have the audience participate. So that's a terrific idea.
Yes, and what I do, and it's like a running little cute little story, is I believe that in this country that we are so blessed to have the opportunity to do all these things, that I do in every show a bit of Americana. And everybody gets a flag. And we do like, oh, Yankee Doodle, America. We do all these things. The audience waves that flag and tears. I've had people come out of my show this time with tears in their eyes saying, thank you. No one thanks the country that we're in.
And we all should every day.
How blessed we are. And thank you for doing that.
Now, let's get to your 501c3 nonprofit organization. You hope to have a year-round seniors theater and arts complex in the Hollywood, Los Angeles area.
Correct. So what we're looking for now is sponsorship. We're looking for people who believe in what we're doing. I'd love people to call me and tell me, you know, their ideas, and maybe if they want to help out, you know, getting to that point. I mean, it's like so exciting. I belong to the Hollywood Chamber here in Hollywood, and everyone is looking forward, because that's what we don't have here, to give people a chance. And what I'd like to do also, I'd like to do like 3 musicals a year. I'd like to do 2 senior and 1 senior with younger ones, an intergenerational one.
That's Jackie Goldberg in conversation with Carol Marks, and her musical series is called Rockin' with the Ages. If you want more information about Jackie and the music, go to pinkladyhollywood.com. And thank you, Carol Marks. She'll be back speaking with Dr. Eric Finzi. That's next, when A Touch of Grey continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here's the host of the show, Carol Marks, in conversation with Dr. Eric Finzi. He's a dermatologic surgeon and artist working in the D.C. area and a former dermatology faculty member at Johns Hopkins Medical Center. He's going to talk to Carol about his new book titled The Face of Emotion, How Botox Affects Our Mood and Relationships, published by Palgrave Macmillan.
And for people that don't know, doctor, you know, exactly what is Botox? It's a chemical. I know that much. Where do you inject it? And what about people's worry that it's a poison?
Well, the way I would look at that is that every drug in the wrong dose is a poison. And Botox is actually safer than most drugs because the difference between the safe dose and the bad dose is much greater for Botox. So, for instance, if you took 20 times as many Tylenol as you're supposed to take, that's a poison. It'll kill you. So if you took 20 times as much Botox, it won't kill you. So it's actually safer than most drugs because it is so specific. And it comes from a bacteria the same way penicillin was made by a fungus to kill off bacteria. So, and penicillin is a poison for bacteria, but it's used by the fungus to kill that. And of course, we know the history of what happened there with antibiotics. So, And Botox is used right between the eyebrows in order to inhibit frowning. So we don't do anything with the smile. We want people to smile as much as possible, because I'm firmly convinced that the more you smile and laugh, the better your mood will become. And that it's sort of like a yin-yang. You know, you've got frowning on one side, and you have smiling and laughter on the other side. And the more you do of the positive, and the less you do of the negative, the less stress your whole system will feel. So I began research on this about 10 years ago, and we published our first article in 2006 showing in a small number of patients we were able to really help chronic serious depression in a large proportion of them. And subsequently, a team of researchers from Germany and Switzerland have replicated our results in a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial of Botox for depression. And I presented in December work that I performed in conjunction with Norman Rosenthal, showing that in a larger study that was randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled, that we had great results in terms of helping many chronically depressed patients with their mood, and quite a few of them went into remission from a single Botox treatment.
And was the amount of Botox you use the same that you would use, you know, to help somebody with their frown lines?
Absolutely, very similar. Yes, so it's more a question of just treating the muscles of negative emotions. It turns out that those muscles between your eyebrows, they're very important in conveying all the negative emotions. So if you're angry with someone, or you're afraid, or you're sad, it turns out that you will activate those muscles, and unbeknownst to you. So it's not like you sit there and say, oh, I'm angry, oh, I should go frown. That's not how it works. You frown first. Or simultaneously with feeling sad or angry, and most of the time you're not actually aware of what you're doing. So your unconscious brain is doing this, and it contributes to your overall mood and emotions. And there, as I said, there's a large body of research to show that our emotions are in what I call embodied. So it's hard to have an emotion if you're sitting there and perfectly calm and doing nothing and not moving your face. And if you want to show the emotion of joy, if you want to feel the emotion, you have to sort of do the emotion to some extent with your face, your body, your voice, everything. So it's not like we just have this thought, oh, I'm extraordinarily happy, but I'm going to look so neutral that no one would know that. That's a difficult thing. And it's hard to sustain an emotion unless you actually sort of feel it with your body and your face. And
absolutely.
So that's an important concept, that it's not, emotions aren't just sort of wandering out there in the ether in the brain.
Talking about Botox, because I read some other articles about it, and that it may become a miracle drug because it also can help alleviate migraines, excessive sweating, and some of the symptoms people have with cerebral palsy and MS.
Absolutely. Yeah, and here's the way to look at Botox. What's different about Botox is that it's a drug that can treat muscles. So if you have a disease that in any way, shape, or form involves muscles in contributing to the disease, even if muscles aren't the prime factor, if they're sort of part of what I call the neuronal circuit. So in cerebral palsy, it's clear that the muscle is an intrinsic part of the disease. The muscle cramps up, and if you treat one set of muscles on the leg, there have been people who have been wheelchair-bound in cerebral palsy who, after Botox treatments, were able to walk. So for them, it's a miracle. For some migraine sufferers, it's a fantastic drug. It can really, really shut them down, and it helps with the nerve sensory nerve endings there in the muscles, so they don't get the pain, and the migraines don't really start because they've had it. And it's also used in Parkinson's disease. It's been recently FDA approved for treatment of bladder problems. And what does a bladder have to do with a frown? Well, it's the bladder. There's a muscle there. So the way to look at Botox is, it's if the muscle is playing the role, then that's an avenue that you can potentially treat. Now, we don't have an easy way of getting into the brain other than by taking certain medications, right? So with Botox, the issue is that we can just treat the muscle, but because everything feeds back to the brain, your brain is aware of everything you do. If your brain senses that over the last 3 weeks you haven't frowned once, it thinks, well, life must be a lot better. I guess you must be feeling better, so I'll make you feel better. So it's sort of a cyclical thing where the chicken and the egg, they sort of co-evolve together in terms of your feelings and your moods, and your brain is constantly monitoring what you're doing with your body and with your facial expressions. And if you don't make those negative expressions, then you do feel better. I mean, people who do yoga know about this very well, because they focus many times on just relaxing all the stress out of the muscles and the negative facial expressions. It's also part of yoga.
Good. And what kind of a doctor would you go to evaluate, say you had cerebral palsy or you were having migraines, that he could tell you whether you might be helped with Botox? What kind of a doctor would administer the injection?
Well, neurologists are specialists in movement disorders.
Okay.
And cerebral palsy is one of them, movement disorders. So they treat Parkinson's and cerebral palsy and spasms of the neck, cervical dystonia. Neurologists are well trained in how to do this, and they treat migraine, headaches. So, there's some fantastic experts out there who can assess the ability of this drug to see if it can be helpful for that individual.
Dr. Eric Finzi, in conversation with Carol Marks. His book is titled The Face of Emotion, How Botox Affects Our Mood and Relationships, published by Palgrave Macmillan. A Touch of Gray continues in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to that point in the program where we go behind the curtain a little bit, talk about the media, particularly talk media, talk radio. And our senior correspondent joins us. His name is Kevin Casey. He is the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers at talkers.com. It is the trade of the talk radio industry. Kevin, you know, it's interesting. Talk radio is an upper demographic medium. It wishes to be a lower demographic medium. It's always trying to lower the demos, lower the demos. Of course, here on this show, A Touch of Gray, we cater to an upper demographic constituency. Mm-hmm. But the topic matter on talk radio tends to be all over the place. And would you say that there are issues being discussed on talk shows around the country that are of interest to the kind of people that would be listening to A Touch of Gray?
Well, there's no question about it. In fact, one of the big stories that is, or I guess an aspect of the big story, which, you know, everyone is aware of, the sequester issue and the budget issue, and how the nation is going to reduce not only its debt, but its annual deficit. And people, the politicians of both parties are pretty much aware that something has to be done in some way, shape, or form touching entitlements. And that, of course, includes Medicare, which folks over 65 have as their Medicare, as their medical, you know, care plan. And it's a big issue on talk radio these days because, number one, the demographic listening to talk radio is either of that age or knows they're going to be there within 10, 15, 20 years, depending upon one's age. The boomers are moving into that, and as we well know, that means a lot of people moving into the Medicare bracket, where they're going to, that is going to become their form of health care insurance, their primary form, I should say. So this is a big issue for politicians, and this is a huge issue for the talk radio audience, and of course, that means it's a huge issue for talk show hosts.
And no doubt, as well as Social Security, which is always an issue, and that's always being talked about when we're talking about budget cuts. And as far as the demographics of talk radio are concerned, the sandwich generation, which is the lower demos of the post-war baby boomers, or the ones that are, you know, born after the post-war baby boomers, they're concerned about their aging parents. So being concerned about financial issues specifically relating to the upper demos is something shared quite significantly by the middle demos as well.
It's funny you say that because that's absolutely correct, and I happen to be of the sandwich generation. You know, my wife and I both have aging parents, and we have a child. So we're in that situation, or a minor child, you know, one who's still dependent upon.
You are a sandwich.
And we're in that situation. I'm watching what my folks have gone through. I'm watching what my wife's folks are going through. And there are a lot of people in my age bracket who are still actually in that big money demo. And yet still have folks who have issues relevant to them that upper demo folks are concerned about as well, too. So everything really is interconnected, and I think that's something a lot of people forget in media when they talk about who's concerned about what. You aren't always just concerned about yourself. You have friends, neighbors, relatives who are in a boat that you might not be in, and you care about what they're going through as well.
Good point. Kevin Casey, Vice President and Executive Editor of the trade magazine Talkers, located at talkers.com. We appreciate you joining us. I'm Michael Harrison. Much more coming your way on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and the rest of the way we'll be joined by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, who's going to be speaking now with Dr. Susan Lusak. She's a gastroenterologist and attending physician at New York City's Lenox Hill Hospital, and she's going to share advice to help the tens of millions of Americans with common GI disorders.
You know, first of all, how prevalent are gastrointestinal disorders?
Well, there are several gastrointestinal disorders, and the one that we will be addressing today is irritable bowel syndrome, which is the most common gastrointestinal disorder in the United States, and one in five Americans have this condition. So it's very, very common. Chronic idiopathic constipation, which is chronic constipation, generally this is a condition where people have constipation without abdominal pain, is also very common. Approximately 35 million people have chronic constipation. With regard to IBS, this is a disorder that is certainly common. It's more commonly seen in women. About 70% of IBS sufferers are women. About one-third of IBS patients have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation. That is, they have abdominal pain. This is a characteristic symptom of IBS associated with constipation. About one-third have IBS with diarrhea, that is, they have loose stools, and then one-third are alternating between diarrhea and constipation. So IBS-C is seen in about 13 million people. And so, again, these are very, very, very common disorders. And you're absolutely right, these are kind of disorders where people really don't want to talk about them. They don't want to talk about abdominal pain, abdominal cramping, and constipation. And so oftentimes they suffer in silence. They don't even discuss some of these disorders with their doctors. And so I would urge your listeners that if they do have these symptoms, if they do have pain, if they do have constipation, to seek care, to speak to their medical providers about their symptoms, to get diagnosed, to get evaluated, and then obviously to get treated.
How significant is diet as a factor in IBS?
So oftentimes people think that diet is causing irritable bowel syndrome, and actually diet does not cause irritable bowel syndrome. Irritable bowel syndrome, we don't know exactly what the cause is, and diet might worsen some of the symptoms of IBS, but it does not cause IBS. Yes, I do recommend to my patients to increase their dietary fiber if they don't take enough. I suggest that they drink enough fluids, 6 to 8 glasses of fluids per day. I suggest that they exercise. I suggest all of these lifestyle changes. But oftentimes these measures are not enough and they need treatment.
Now, you mentioned, which took me quite by surprise, that women are 70% make up 70% of the sufferers of irritable bowel syndrome. Do we have an indication why there is that difference between the genders?
We really don't know precisely why women have more IBS than men. There are some of the thoughts are that women seek health care differently. Women tend to report their symptoms perhaps more frequently than men. Men culturally need to kind of tough it up more, and they need to really have more severe symptoms before they present. So some of it may be having sort of different culturally. We're cultured differently to report our symptoms and to seek health care differently. But there may be also biological differences between men and women that we're exploring. But precisely at this moment, we really don't know why women are more affected than men.
Now, you mentioned, which is so often a problem, the men trying to tough it out, you know, put on the big boy pants, hope they're not soiled, and pill them up. But what are the dangers when people have irritable bowel syndrome and they don't get it treated? What can it, what can happen?
Well, I think that certainly IBS is not a life-threatening disorder. It will not lead to, let's say, colon cancer or other conditions. But this is a condition that is recurrent, frequent, and it really affects their quality of life and even their productivity.
Sure.
Sometimes people take time off from work because they are so uncomfortable. There's a greater absenteeism, and even if people do go to work, they are not as productive because of their IBS symptoms. So it does have an impact on their lives, and they also curtail their activities. So they will not go to movies, or they will not fly, or they will not do various things that they could if they were treated. And then there are certain issues that can occur with regard to constipation where they may have certain consequences like hemorrhoidal problems, etc.
Now, you mentioned treatment. What kinds of treatments are available?
So, you know, oftentimes patients, before even they go and see a doctor, they may try some of the over-the-counter medications, some of the over-the-counter laxatives for constipation. But if they don't improve, then they should see a doctor. And recently there was a new medication that was approved for both irritable bowel syndrome with constipation and chronic idiopathic constipation. And chronic idiopathic constipation is, again, it's chronic constipation without pain. And the medication is called Alinzess, which is indicated in adults who are 18 years and older. It is contraindicated or should not be used in children who are 17 years and younger, but it's certainly available for those who are 18 and over, and it has been both studied in people above the age of 65, so it has helped people, who are elderly.
Is there an age range? I was curious when you were mentioning about treatment of younger people. Is there an age range that is the most common for IBS?
IBS is more commonly seen in younger women, but certainly there are women who have the onset earlier in life, and it continues with them till kind of their to the rest of their for the rest of their lives. So I certainly treat in my practice many patients who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s. So it's not just a disorder in younger women; it's generally the onset occurs at a younger age.
Is this something that we're talking about when we talk about managing it? Are we talking indeed about managing symptoms as opposed to actually curing, or can this be cured, and if so, what kind of a period of treatment does it take?
Yeah, that's a great question. There is no cure. These conditions, there is no cure for IBS, and there is no cure for chronic idiopathic constipation. We manage these conditions, but they can be managed to, again, make people much more comfortable.
Now, along those same lines, we always hear about the earlier that people act before diseases progress, that the better are our chances of managing these or making our lives better. Is that similar with IBS? If people are having symptoms, is this something that they shouldn't delay as far as, well, I'll take care of it with over-the-counter or I'll just tough it out? When should they decide that their symptoms are such that they should see a physician?
I think that when people are feeling that they're having their symptoms recurrently a couple of times a week, they should see their physician and get treated. When the gastrointestinal tract is not functioning normally, then after years of, because this is a chronic condition that is persistent over years and decades, when these symptoms continue, then the gut becomes more lax, it becomes more distended, it becomes more more difficult to treat later on. So when symptoms do appear, when people have these symptoms, they should get them treated, bring them under control, and really they will feel better. They will, their quality of life will improve because they will be managing it in a way that will make them more comfortable. So even though there's no cure, they will, it can be managed and they feel better and their life is better.
That's Dr. Susan Lusack in conversation with Steve Wiseman. And Steve will be back in just a moment to talk about raising premiums for women in long-term care insurance. That's next on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups continues.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
For almost every American worker, Social Security is part of the plan for a secure retirement. It's important to know how the program works. If you have questions, the answers are easy to find when you visit www.socialsecurity.gov. Use the retirement estimator to get a benefit estimate. Browse our frequently asked questions. You can even apply for benefits online. Visit www.socialsecurity.gov to figure out your retirement plan. That's www.socialsecurity.gov.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast, and we're joined again by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. Steve is here now to talk about raising premiums for women in long-term care insurance. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. Starting next year, the Affordable Care Act, which is often called Obamacare, is going to prohibit insurance companies from selling individual and small group health policies, from charging women higher premiums than men for the same coverage. So that's a good thing. However, long-term care insurance is not bound by that law. And just recently, the country's largest provider of this kind of coverage, Genworth Financial, announced it's going to begin setting its prices based on sex coming in the spring. And it's expected that other companies will follow the same lead. Genworth says the new pricing reflects the fact that women actually receive 2 out of 3 claim dollars, and the change is going to affect, now get this though, only women who buy new individual policies, or about 10% of all purchasers, according to the company. The rates won't be applied to existing policyholders or people who apply as a couple with their spouse. The other thing, though, to consider is it isn't going to be going into effect until this spring. And so if you are thinking of getting a policy and you are a woman, you may want to think about getting that policy ahead of time. It's expected that women's premiums can increase by as much as 40% under this new pricing policy, which is really going to be pretty significant. Now, long-term care insurance provides protection for people who need help with basic daily tasks like bathing and dressing, and it will pay a set amount for a certain number of years, maybe, you know, $200 a day for 3 years for care in a nursing home, sometimes even assisted living facilities, and it can also have a home care provision. It is something that the rates have changed quite a bit in recent years. And some people are actually looking toward other types of products, including, very, very interestingly, life insurance policies that have benefits for long-term care in which you can actually tap into the death benefit rather than just the cash value of the policy. A lot of this is gone over in my book, A Guide to Elder Planning, and you can find out about that on my website, scamicide.com. But this is something that will be happening. There will be a change, not in every state. So Genworth Financial said it is not going to switch to gender-based pricing for long-term care in Colorado and Montana, where that kind of varying premiums based on gender is prohibited for all kinds of policies. Bottom line is we should consider long-term care policies. Women who live longer than men in particular should be considering these. But look at perhaps the life insurance way of paying for it. Look at other ways of paying for it, sometimes even through annuities. But it is the kind of thing that the earlier you plan, the better off you'll be.
Thank you very much, Steve Wiseman. And Steve's written a number of books, one of which is the Bible of Avoiding Scams. It's called The Truth About Avoiding Scams. It's published by Prentice Hall. He's written a number of books that have the truth in them because they're truthful. The Truth About Buying Annuities, also Prentice Hall. And if you're concerned about scams and fraud, visit Steve Wiseman's website, scamicide.com. Steve Wiseman, one of our members here in the on the ensemble that brings A Touch of Gray to you. Thank you, Steve Wiseman. Thank you, Beverly Santinello, our producer on the front line. Thank you, Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program. Thank you, Kevin Casey, the entire Touch of Gray broadcast team. I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us right here next weekend for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.